And welcome into our audiocast for this Monday, December 10th, 2007 from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Brought to you today by IFR Refresher. Mike Blakeney reporting. And today we're speaking with Don Taylor of Taylor Aviation in Emmett, Idaho. Now, Don was the subject of a feature story in the Idaho Statesman newspaper recently by Tim Woodward, who did a real good job on that story. And the headline was, Idaho's oldest crop duster pilot looks back on 43 years of death-defying seasons. And we've got Don with us today. Don, how are you?
I'd like to set straight on something.
Okay, sure.
They weren't death-defying years. I'm a coward.
Well, does that lend some credence to that saying, there's no old, bold pilots?
Yeah, I think so.
Think so, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, I want to find out all about your flying career, but let's go back a few years. Now, when you were at a tender young age, you were in the service, right?
Yeah.
You were a mechanic in the service. Now, Take us from being in the service to getting in the crop duster business.
Well, I came from a farm. My dad started flying in 1927 and flew until 1995. So airplanes were just part of the household. I came back from the Army in 56, farmed a few years with my dad. I had the GI Bill available, so I got my commercial license on the GI Bill. And we had a little PA-14 that we flew around, and he bought it in 1958. He bought a BT-13 from the government when they first turned them loose in 45. And so that's what he taught me to fly in, was the old BT. I walked into the hangar one day, was going to go fly for a few minutes, and the local crop duster, Bud Fountain, he was an air show pilot in California and a crop duster, and he asked me how would I like to have a job working for him, and I said, you got it. So he had a Piper agency and a crop duster, and he had two guys flying the duster business for him, and they couldn't get along, so one of them left, and I took his place. Well, this was in California until 1994. From 72, we moved up north to above Sacramento, and I worked Rice until 94, and we moved to Idaho because our son wanted to come here. And so he found us a place to buy, looking for a job for me, and our youngest son came to Idaho, and the oldest boy never did make it, but Kelly and I are still together here.
Well, 43-year career. I think the paper estimated that's 150,000 takeoffs and landings. You have beaten all the odds. I guess in addition to a good dose of luck, how do you think that you got through all that without cracking up any planes?
Well, I busted a couple or three or six.
Oh, you did?
I think the most healthy part of it was I had a lot of people praying for me. Then my dad taught me early how to use equipment and the safety factor of just getting along. And I learned early that egos will kill you quicker than anything. And so that's probably the biggest thing that kept me alive was good old-fashioned fear. Didn't want to get boogered up.
Are there any close calls that kind of stand out in your mind?
Yeah, I've had several. The scariest one was I was working with a guy we'd been working together for 13 years, and he was a Vietnam helicopter pilot. The guys that flew those helicopters that carried people into the hot areas become very independent. They forget about everything else except survival, and they have a hard-nosed way of thinking. And I don't blame them. I've never been shot at, so I can't say their thinking is wrong. We were working a field together one time, and he came back with a load. And he was turning downwind and starting into the field, and he leveled out on my pass. I was coming out of the field. And instead of moving over, he just sat there. We were coming crankshaft to crankshaft, and it's hard. I finally decided I was going to hit him harder than he hit me, and I poured the coal to it, and he pulled up at the last second. The boss said that our wings were 15 feet apart, and it was scary. I pulled up and started to make a turn. I had one more pass to make, and about halfway through the turn, I just went limp and went out and gathered myself up and came back and jumped in behind him. That was probably the scariest because it lasted the longest.
And in the paper, you also told about there was a truck on the runway or something.
We were taking off on road. And half mile down the road, there was a road that teed into the one that we were working out of. And it had berry bushes along the side of it between me and the road. And so I couldn't see what was coming down the road. We had a flagger down there, and this Yahoo blew right on by the flagger. And I was taking off and going under a wire at the end where I crossed that road. And I got the tail up and going, and then I see the top of this car going along the berry bushes. And so pulled the tail back down on the ground, and as soon as it would flop a little bit, I started making a turn. I had to go around the pole. That was kind of spooky. It was a few minutes of prayer, and the airplane shouldn't have flown, but it did. And we made it around the post, and I went next to that intersection at the same time the car got there. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to look at the guy's face, but I know he was as scared as I was.
Would you have any advice to young people who are just getting their license, that have maybe thinking about this as a career, on how to get started? Would you even advise somebody to go into this?
Well, it's really tough. When I started, the insurance companies weren't against you. They hadn't piled up this big number of crashes yet. We each flew an airplane, and the airplanes were the thing that was insured. Pilots weren't insured, per se. It was just the airplane you flew. So we each had sprayer and a duster, and then they insured the pilots. And we had to go to the convertible airplanes, made dusters and sprayers, and, try and cut expenses. The first 2 years have proven to be kind of hard. To get going. And they don't want you unless you've gone to a school. And the schools don't seem to be all that helpful as far as longevity is concerned, but they do help them realize the dangers involved.
Sure.
Chemicals and plants and the weather and all that stuff.
So
and
probably.
It's really, really hard. They're all the tailwheel airplanes and nobody learns in tailwheel airplanes anymore. They end up trying to get 1,000 hours of tailwheel time and trying to get financed through a legitimate school so that they can get insured and then find somebody that'll put them to work. When I started, you could go into business. You could buy an airplane, a pickup, and a loader for about $5,000. The airplanes that they're flying now start around $500,000. And so things are kind of tough.
If we could go back and know what we know now.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask you, looking back on these 43 years, if you could go back and know what you know now, do you think you would do all this over again?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would change my mindset as far as trying to do a job that was beyond my comprehension or ability at the time. I would give myself more time to get qualified. I just jumped in and went after it. I was working with two of the finest steerman pilots that I've ever known, and I started out trying to keep up with them, and it cost the guy I was working for a couple of airplanes, and it cost me and my wife some sleepless nights. And it took me 5 years to get to the place where I could keep up with those guys. And I tried to do it the first year. That's experience. If you survive it, you learn from it.
Well, one of those people praying for you was Your wife, Charlene, I can imagine it takes a special woman to be there for a crop duster.
Yeah, it really does. I'm one of the few that was blessed to the point where I got to raise my own children. I appreciate that. I always have. It's a lifelong possession of just pure joy when you can raise your own kids and do what you like to do on top of it. She's not nearly as selfish as I am.
And Charlene, to close out our interview today, we wanted to get the wife's perspective. What's the 43 years been like for you?
Well, it's been good overall. It's difficult because you do know the danger of it. And through all the mishaps, there's been more blessings than mishaps. And our children have always loved the flying. Our grandchildren now.
Kind of runs in the family, doesn't it?
It does. It's four generations. I tend to probably be more cautious. Well, I'm a lot more cautious because I just don't want anybody to be hurt. I would like to just stay on the ground, except this past 2 weeks we took a trip and we drove instead of flew. And I decided I didn't ever want to fly. I'd drive again. People are crazy. That whole Cessna looks pretty good right now.
I understand completely.
He's the greatest. We've had a lot of fun together. We've had a lot of heartaches along the way and hard times, but we weathered the storms together. And our lives have been good. I think one of the things that has made it bearable for me to be married to someone in this business is the fact that Don is a God-fearing man that has his life in order, and at any time that it was time for him to check out, I knew he was ready. And that makes a big difference. It makes a tremendous difference. We've prayed together through the years, and for our children, and for the business, and for everything else, and I don't think a woman could ask for more than that. And he's one of the best pilots around. He says in the cockpit he feels like he's 35. Getting in, he feels 75.
Well, I'm starting to be able to identify with that.
It's always been, for me, watching him like a ballet in the sky. So graceful and so beautiful. And I've watched him all these years, and I didn't see one bit of difference in the way he flew. And it's pretty awesome. He has so much knowledge that needs to be passed on to younger pilots that are entering the business. So he and my son are thinking of corroborating. My son's a writer, going to maybe corroborate on a book. And I told him I've got a name for it. Getting Close was my business.
So whenever you were riding in the car and he got a little close to another car, you'd say, "You're getting too close," and he'd say,
"Getting Close is my business."
Don and Charlene Taylor of Idaho. Today's audio cast was brought to you by IFR Refresher. Comments on today's audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Look for our next audio cast on Friday, December 14th. Better get that Christmas shopping done. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.